Yeah. A used pink bathrobe, a rare mint snow globe, a Smurf TV tray I bought on eBay. My house
Smurf TV tray
is filled.
If that's what you are looking for on eBay, then you've come to the wrong place entirely.
Totally.
Welcome back to the Computer Corner right here, News Radio 620 KTAR. Before we even jump into things,
yeah,
I'm going to let you know it's a fairly rare thing, so that's why I'm letting you know it's open phone lines. And the number you want to call if you want to get in about digital cameras, what are the things that you love about yours, what's the stuff that you wish you hadn't spent extra money on, what features do you wish you had buy, what accessories are must-haves, all that kind of stuff, whatever it is about digital cameras, we want to talk to you, 602-277-5827. We got a couple of lines, I think two of them open right now.
And Daryl is calling on the line and has a question about what he should, he wants to get a digital camera for his wife's birthday. Daryl,
yes.
Welcome to the Computer Corner. Before we get to our recommendations, we wanted to read you an email from a listener, Ron.
Dr. Ron.
Digital cameras as a gift question. Do not buy a digital camera as a gift for someone who will not likely to thoroughly read the manual. Or not be likely to thoroughly read the manual. If you do, by default, the giftor becomes a walking technical reference for the giftee. Life will never be the same. So keep that in mind in your quest for technology for your wife. Now, my assumption is you buy this for her, but you'll end up using it just as much, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, all right.
If not more.
She's more technology savvy than I am.
Well, and you're gonna start out with that, and then you're going to do the his and hers, and you know, this is just the way it works.
If she's more technically savvy, might I suggest a gift certificate?
Actually, there's if you have access.
I want to put some thought into it.
What's that?
I said I want to put some thought into it.
A little more thought into it.
Okay.
Well, if you get a chance, take a look at our resources today. There's quite a few things there that'll help you quite well in making the choice, you know, kind of figuring out what's what out there. But let me just kind of give you some overview, some suggestions. Depending upon really what you want to do with the pictures once you take them, because nobody buys a digital camera to take the picture and then look at it on that little 1-inch LCD.
Oh, no, that's what I do.
Well, besides Brandon.
And then I just delete them and throw them away.
So that you don't end up putting this thing on eBay right away. When you take the pictures, generally you're going to transfer them to your computer. That's a pretty consistent thing that most people want to do.
Uh-huh.
From there, you're probably going to want to print them, yes?
Yes.
So
or email them.
Well, the email thing is pretty, it doesn't really matter what you get from an email standpoint. Whatever digital camera you get, the pictures are way too big to be emailed, so you have to use software to make it emailable. Really, it's the reverse. So if you want to do 8x10 photos, for instance, you want to be able to output 8x10 photos, then
yes.
you need more dots.
More megapixels if you want to get technical.
When you take the picture, you want more dots so that when you print it, it's a sharper image. The larger the output, the more dots you're going to need.
If you want to print a poster, you better be looking at it like 8 megapixel kind of thing.
Probably not even enough there.
Probably not.
So if you're just going to do 5x7s, 4x6s, and you're never going to do 8x10s, then you can get a lower megapixel camera. So kind of the dividing line for today's cameras, as far as I'm concerned, is the 3 to 4 megapixel range. 3 on the low end, 4 would be if you're going to go 8.5x11, or you know,
8x10
photos that you want to be able to print out. Make sure get a minimum of 4 megapixels.
And definitely don't go below 3.2, whatever you do, because I don't think you'll be happy with the results unless you just want to have really kind of just snapshot kind of stuff like what you'd get out of your cell phone that takes pictures.
Now, you also want to concentrate on the lens mechanism. Mm-hmm. There are on the lower price cameras, they have what they call fixed focal length lenses, which means no zoom.
Well, they'll have zoom, but it's not good zoom. Anything that says zoom.
No. Fixed focal length means no zoom.
No zoom?
No zoom.
Not even digital zoom?
Nothing.
Really?
Maybe digital zoom, but in a lot of cases not, because what they're really pushing is wide angle. Because it's fixed focal length, they can do like a wide angle. If you do a lot of landscape shots, or let's say you're a real estate broker and you need to be able to get close to the house but take the picture of the whole house to put on the website.
Or you want a picture or a camera you can use just to take pictures of the Grand Canyon and nothing else.
Yeah. So make sure that you have a what's called an optical zoom of at least 3x or more.
An optical zoom? Okay.
Optical zoom. They're all going to profess these different optical and digital zooms. The digital zoom will usually be like 6x or 10x or something really crazy.
It doesn't even matter what the digital zoom is. Just throw that number away. It makes no difference. You shouldn't pay a penny for digital zoom.
Digital zoom is nothing more than a fancy way of cropping the image inside the camera, which is horrible. It makes the picture blurry and all that stuff. So forget about digital zoom. You want optical zoom. You definitely want to make sure that you look at the battery system that's being used. You know why? It'll eat a hole.
I would imagine I'd lose the picture.
No, no, no. All cameras run out of power. It just doesn't matter who you are. You're going to be in a situation, generally more so in the early stages than once you start to get to understand this thing. But you're going to be ready to go. You're going to grab the thing. You're going to go head to a hiking trip or something, and you get out there and your battery's dead. Or it takes two pictures and then it dies. The reason the battery system's important is, one, if you're not careful, you can buy a battery or a camera that requires these proprietary disposable batteries.
Or that has no ability for you to change batteries at all. It's just built in.
So the battery system is very, very important because of the ongoing expense. Your first and foremost is you want to make sure you get rechargeable batteries, something that you have a power adapter that comes with a camera, and you just keep that thing plugged in, and you can replace that rechargeable battery. If you really want a cool system is to get something that's got rechargeable batteries that can also use disposable batteries, those standard AA's or AAA's or whatever it is, in a pinch. So if you get out on that hiking trip and you're out of juice, at least you can go run to a store, get some batteries, regular disposable batteries, and stick them in there for a short term.
And just about any camera that will take regular disposable batteries, if like let's say it's AA batteries, you can get rechargeable AA batteries, so that's always an option too, because you can always use those, and you might have an external charger you'd have to put those batteries in, but you can get extras of those, and like Ken was mentioning, in a pinch, if you're on vacation, you forgot your battery charger, whatever the case may be, you can buy AA's anywhere.
Okay.
So make sure you understand the battery system, and then also the kind of storage card that's used on the camera. There's about 8 different formats. And the reason that's important is the card that comes with the camera is generally too small to really, you know, hold very many pictures at all. So you end up having to buy an additional card. So before you make the purchase, find out what a 128 or 256 meg card costs for the camera you're considering.
128 or 256?
Yeah, 128 minimum, 256 if it's within reason. The reason that you want these big camera cards is the cool thing about digital cameras is you can take pictures with reckless abandon because you don't care. You're not wasting film. Take 15 shots of the same thing so that you get the one that you want.
Because 3 of them will be with somebody's eyes closed. One will be looking into the right wrong. You'll have a couple of weird ones, but hopefully you'll get one good one out of that at least, and you throw the others away.
Your lighting will be off on one or whatever. Or the autofocus, you know, didn't kick in fast enough and so on and so forth. So see what it's going to cost you for the additional memory card. Because you got to include that in what your price is going to be, right?
Right.
And if you use some of the newer technologies, the large cards are extremely expensive.
Different brands will take different kinds of cards. The most common probably still out there today is the compact flash. And there are some cameras, like most of the Olympus, the higher-end Olympus, they take both or either a compact flash or the smaller new XD memory. So that way you can still, for the big cards, get the cheap stuff, but you can have the little tiny XD, which is like the size of your pinky thumb or fingernail, and you have both convenience and size. But when it gets down to that small, I mean, something the size of your thumb or something the size of your pinky, is there really that much difference that you care about? So the best bang for the buck, they all today pretty much perform kind of similarly in the camera. So
now, if you want to get real tweaky and really get into this thing, like the type of lens that's on the camera. You know, like the Sony's, the upper-end Sony's use the Carl Zeiss. I mean, if you're really into photography, you can actually look at the technology used in the lens. And it is important for color quality, light capturing, and all those things. So the lens type, if you want to, you're going to have to spend more time getting educated on the different types of lenses. The easy way to go about kind of separating the men from the boys on the lens part is generally look for companies that came from the film camera world, because they tend to have, not always, but they tend to have higher quality lenses because that's kind of their forte.
We're talking about like Canon, like Nikon, like Kodak.
You anticipated my question.
Yeah, I'm not. Excuse me.
I said you anticipated my question.
Yeah. So, as opposed to computer companies that now do digital cameras.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I don't want to list out any brands, but you know the traditional computer companies that all push digital cameras now. Typically, they're really focusing on price and features and not so much on the technology. And so none of that's going to matter the first 6 months of the ownership of this camera. But once you get going on this thing, you're going to go, gosh, I wish I'd have spent a little more and gotten this, or wish I'd have gotten a better lens, maybe more of a zoom, that kind of thing, because you really have no point of reference at this point.
And it really depends on your needs. If you just want to snap a bunch of pictures of the kids growing up, then, you know, the cheaper camera with some features may be just fine. Whereas if you want to go out and take pictures of things and really get some high quality and you want to print these things and do stuff with them, then you need to consider some of those higher-end options, and then that's when you'd want to look at, again, the manufacturers who used to make film cameras that are now converting into digital.
You know what? Fran's got a review on her camera she likes. Can you punch Fran in with Daryl or no? Or
we're overdue for a break by a few minutes.
Well, Daryl, hang on. We're going to see if we can do the users helping users thing.
We'll do that. And we'll talk about the other feature we didn't mention, which is the difference between CCD cameras and SLR and that whole big gap that really kind of affects things. And I think
getting technical.
Well, the reason we're going to get into that is because the camera Fran has, I think if I'm right, is an SLR camera. So she's going to probably be able to help us tell why that difference is important.
SLR stands for?
Single lens reflex. So we're going to put Daryl back on hold right where he was at. We're going to come back with Fran, Daryl, Ken, Brandon, and if any, we can squeeze anybody else in.
And then we're going to use English to explain why SLR is cool.
Yes.
Back after this.
The D-backs road trip continues.